Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 11 lines from the top of Daf Yud Ches. Before we begin the shiur, we want to look at illustration 268 in the Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations that we've been using since the beginning of the Masechta. You'll find this on page 53. Illustration 268 on the lower left-hand side of the page, and you are witnessing an aerial view. You're looking at an aerial view of a sukkah. There is schach, and in the middle there's a gap of avir, an airspace. Airspace measuring 3 tvachim, and ordinarily that airspace of 3 tvachim would ruin the sukkah. It's too large a gap in the schach. However, he fills it with unfit material, material that's unfit for schach, schach puzzle, some metal rods, if you will. So that those metal rods, in effect, reduce the airspace. You don't have now a continuum of 3 tvachim of airspace. We now take a look at the Gemara itself, Omar Abaye. Avir shloisha besukah gedoyla umiatoi. If there's airspace of 3 tvachim in a large sukkah, in other words, you're not dealing with a minimum size sukkah, but even if the airspace problem is solved, you'll have, even with that, you'll still have plenty of other sukkah area, and you reduced the airspace. Bain bekonim, bain bespudim. Whether you used reeds, which are kosher for schach, or you spudim, some metal rods, spits that are not kosher for schach, have a mute. It would constitute a reduction, and the sukkah would thereby be kosher. Besukah ktana. If, however, you were dealing with a minimum size sukkah, that means that altogether you've got 7 by 7 tefachim, 7 by 7 hand breadths in that sukkah, and you have an airspace of 3 tefachim. Bekonim havimiyut. If you put kosher schach in there, so you will no longer have 3 tvachim of airspace, and that will be good. Bishpudim lo have miut. However, if you fill it with unkosher schach, so it won't be considered a miut, a reduction. Now we look at Rashi about halfway, a little less than halfway down. Bishpudim lo have miut. V'afalgav delo mizeh velo mizeh yesh shiur lifsol. Even though at this point you don't have the quantity of airspace, nor the quantity, the size or dimension of schach puzzle. Schach puzzle ruins a sukkah if you would have 4 tefachim of schach puzzle. So even though from either standpoint or from neither standpoint, the airspace nor the schach consideration, do you have a problem per se? Mihu kevan deiko gimel tefachim bahadodi denafki meher shusuke. But since you have a continuum of 3 tefachim that are not in the positive, they're not kosher schach, chashivi bapi nafshayu, they take on their own significance, v'lo mitstarfin b'hadol l'ashlum l'shura, and therefore they don't join together with the mere 4 tefachim left that you have of kosher schach to join up with it. The lesse the shiur the sukkah, and because of that, you don't have the shiur of sukkah. The shiur of sukkah is 7 tefachim. In a case like this, then you have only 4 tefachim of kosher schach. So now let's go back to the Gemara. Vehani mili. Now this is qualified that we said that avir pochos mishlosha is itself not a problem and won't ruin a sukkah. Vehani mili min hatzad. That's if the three tvachim were coming from the side. In other words, you had a wall, and at the top of the sukkah, at the top of the wall, there was immediately airspace of less than three tefachim till the schach. That would be okay. That would be okay if you have avir of less than three tefachim. And by the way, there is an illustration on the top of page 54, where you see an example of this, of airspace, avir, less than three tefachim, coming from the side, from the top of the wall, working your way into the sukkah. The Gemara continues, Avol be'emsa, pligi bo rav achav ravino. However, airspace of less than three tefachim, we didn't mention, but the less than three tefachim is called lovud, and the term lovud means the whatever needs to be attached is considered attached. So we say, according to this Gemara, that avir of less than three tefachim is not said to be a problem because it's less than three tefachim, and whatever it is needs to be is attached. So that the wall, in such a case, is attached to the schach because the airspace is less than three tefachim coming right off the top of the wall, as we saw in that illustration. Avol be'emtza, but if the avir, even if it's less than three tefachim, but it's in the middle, and that is what we saw in the diagram on page 53, diagram 268, where the airspace is in the middle, then pligi bo rav achav ravino. We have a machlokes amoroyim. And what's the machlokes? And this, by the way, is the topic heading that we have on the side of the Gemara, lovud be'emtza. Machlokes rav achav ravino. Chad omar, we continue in the Gemara, yesh lovud be'emtza, v'chad omar ein lovud be'emtza. Machlokes amoraim, do you apply the rule of lovud when it's in the middle? So coming off the side of the sukkah, right at the top of the wall, till the schach, if it's less than three tefachim of airspace, fine, everyone holds that. What about the airspace in the middle of the sukkah? So as you saw, that's a machlokes amoraim, rav achav ravino. And the diamonds, as you can see, introduce the maitaima of each one of these opinions. And what we're looking for here are Tanaic sources that will serve as a basis of these Amoraic opinions. Maitaima demand omar yesh lovud b'emtza. What is the reason for his claiming that there is lovud even in the middle? Desanya. And he answers from a Tanaic source. This Tanaic source comes from the realm of from Maseches Eruvin, where the laws of a movui are dealt with. A movui is an alleyway that opens into a public thoroughfare, and from a rabbinic standpoint, it's forbidden to carry in the alleyway on Shabbos unless you have some type of marker at the entrance to the movui way. And what those are, you have Lechi and Kora. Those are the names of the two different possibilities. And the Kora is a board going across the top of the movui. Let us say you don't have one beam long enough to go right across the top of the movui. So if you look on page 54 in the Pirush Chai, you'll see a couple of illustrations that we'll be referring to now. In the middle of the Omid, you have illustration 274 and 275. In 274, in the middle of page 54 of the Pirush Chai, you see a beam going across the entrance, not quite reaching the opposite wall. And in 275, you see two short beams reaching across toward the middle, but once again not quite touching each other. And we're interested in the gap that you see in both of those pictures. So we could now turn to the Gemara, to Sanya. And this is illustration 274. Koira hayoitza mikoisel zeh. Koira is a beam that's extending from one wall, the eino noigas bekoisel acher, and doesn't touch the opposite wall of the movui entrance. V'chein shtei koiros achas yoitza mikoisel zeh v'achas yoitza mikoisel acher. And in the case of 275, you have the two short beams, each one extending from a separate wall, but not quite reaching each other in the middle. The Einon Noigoi Zubazu, and they don't touch one another. And this, by the way, is the case of Emtza. So, Pachos Mishloisha Eino Tzorach Lavi Koira Cheres. The dashed underlining is because this is the source for the Madoma that they're Yesh Lavu Bemtza. So that you have the two beams extending toward one another, not quite touching each other, but if they're within pachos mishlosha, they're within three tefachim, eino tzorach lavi koira acher. So you don't have to bring any a replacement or an additional korah to attach the two together. Shloisha, if however there is a gap of three tefachim or more, so then, tzorach lavi koira acher, you'll have to bring an additional korah or an additional piece of wood and attach it to the two so that you have one continuous beam going across. V'idach, the other opinion, namely, we saw an opinion that says, ein lovud b'amtza. So he says, shiny koirois de rabbonon. He says, that is different because that's a rabbinic realm. And we're dealing in our sukkah, in our gemara, with sukkah, which is a Torah level realm, and therefore in a Torah level realm you'll find that we apply stricter standards. My time on demand omar ein lovud b'amtza. What is the basis of claiming that there is no lovud in the middle? And once again, lovud means that we view things as attached or closed up or sealed. So what is the source of saying ein lovud b'amtza disnan? We have a Tanaic source. Now this Tanaic source has two parts to it. There's a Reish and a Seifa. We will not notice in this source any difference between the beginning part and the end part. Don't look for differences. The Shas deals with this elsewhere at greater length, but not over here. Here we're going to just try to extract the point, the main point of the source for our purposes. Before we continue in the source, we glance at a diagram. Diagram 276. This is at the bottom right-hand corner of page 54 of the Pirush Chai. What you're looking at is a room. You're looking into a room. And you can see, obviously, the floor. Lying on the floor, you have items. One item, Aleph, is one scenario, and the Beis represents as we said, there are two items. The Aleph is, as you can see in the caption, is either a source of Tuma or it's a vessel that might become Tomei, and Beis is also either it's a case of the Tuma or it's a vessel that's. But in the case of Beis, it's in the house. In the case of Aleph, it's directly under an opening in the ceiling. It's called an aruba. Sometimes it's might call that a skylight, but it's an opening that's not covered. It's open to the air. Now that we see the picture, we can also just mention that let us be aware of something called Tumas Oihel, where certain situations, primarily the case of Tumas Meis, corpse related defilement. If an olive size, or olive quantity of human corpse meat is in a room, it will project tuma to everything contained under the same ceiling, in the same room, under the same ceiling. And that's because what happens is that the tumah in your mind's eye goes up to the ceiling, and then like smoke tends to do, it will rise, and then since it has no escape, it then spreads throughout everything in the room. That's the standard case of tumas oil, so that all other vessels under the same ceiling will become tumah. In our case, we're going to be looking at a situation where the corpse material is positioned directly underneath an opening in the ceiling. If you remember our example a minute ago, we said since the tumah behaves like smoke, if there's no escape, it rises, hits the ceiling, and then spreads to everything else under the ceiling. In this case, you can see where in the aleph of that illustration, there is an escape. The tumah rises, it doesn't hit the ceiling, it goes right through the opening. Is it of concern to us what the size of that opening is? Well, in our discussion, we're going to take note of an opening that's less than 3 tefachim. According to the claim of Lovud, something less than 3 tefachim is considered sealed up. Well, is this considered sealed up? If the tumah is able to escape, then it's not sealed up, then it's open, even if it's less than 3 tefachim. And the hole might be is positioned in the middle of the ceiling. So if that is true, then that would be a proof of saying Ein Lovud Be'emtza, that when you're in the middle of a ceiling, in the middle of whatever, and likewise in the sukkah, in the middle of the schachan, there's all of a sudden an opening, an air space, even if it's less than 3 tefachim, it won't be considered sealed up. Now the Gemara inside, the Snan. Here we're looking for the source of the Manda Omar that Ein Lovud Be'emtza Aruba Shebebayis Uba Posech Tefach. And Aruba is the opening, the skylight in a house. You know, so just for illustration purposes, just imagine a one room house and it's one story. There's a ceiling above the ceiling. Above the ceiling, go through the ceiling, you're out into the open air. So you have an aruba, this skylight in the house. Ubo poseach tefach, and its size is a handbreadth. Tumo babayas kulo tome. If the corpse material is not positioned under the skylight, but it's under some other part of the ceiling, so everything else in the house, all vessels in the house, will become tome. Ma shekineged aruba tohor. That which is directly under the skylight is going to remain tohor. The Rashi on the lower part of the narrow lines, Keneged Aruba Tohor, Kelim Shetachteo Tohorim, She'eno Ohel Hames. It's not under the covering, it's not under the overshadowing that is relevant to the corpse material that's located elsewhere in that room, but not under the opening. Alma ein lovu de'emtzam evikule kisosim. We see from this that the ceiling is not viewed as if it's shut, as if it's connected and sealed up. Continuing in the source, tuma keneged aruba. If the tuma is under the opening, then the tumah simply goes straight up, shoots up through that opening, and the rest of the things in the house are not affected. Kol habayas kulo tohor. We continue. This is the second part of the source, and you will see here the same information. However, the only difference is that here the aruba is less than a tefach. Ein baruba poseach tefach. If the opening is less than a handbreadth, tumah babayas. If the tumah is in the house, kineged aruba tor, that which is opposite or directly underneath the small aperture remains tohor. Tumah kineged aruba, if the tumah is directly under this opening less than one tefach, kol habayas kulo tor, the tumah, according to what we see here, goes right through that small opening, and the items in the rest of the house remain tohar. So what do we see here? We see very clearly Ein Lovud Bamsa. This is a Torah level area of law. The idach, the other mandomar that says Yesh Lovud Bamsa, he says Shaini Hilchas Tuma, the rules, the realm of Tuma, of defilement, it's different. The Hachi Gemiri Lahu. Thusly, there is an oral tradition. And when you have an oral tradition, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, we say that we don't learn other matters from Halacha Moshe Misinai, or you could say, in other words, Halacha Moshe Misinai does not serve as a precedent for other areas of law. So that it may very well be then that in Hilchus Tumah, Ein Lovud Be'emtza, but in Hilchus Sukkah, Yesh Lovud Be'emtza. The triangles denote, as or indicate on the side, Dorash Rabbi Yehuda Brabloy. We have two maimros of his, one here. The second one is in a bracketed section. You can see where the next triangle is, but you also notice it's a bracketed section having basically nothing to do with Sukkah, but it's the same name. And as often in the Shas, as is often in the Shas, the same name is reason enough to have a second passage quoted, even if the contents of the passage bear no direct relevance. Dorash Rabbi Yehuda Brabloy, Bayis Shenifchas Vesikech Al Gabov Kshera. This is something that we've seen in the past, a house whose roof caved in the middle of the roof caved in, and he covered it with schach. You can sit there. Omar Lefonov Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Porish. So Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda Brabloy, explain. So he answers, Kach Piresh Abba. Thusly, father explained. Arbamos Psula, if the gap between the schach and the wall of the house, remember we said the roof caved in the middle, so if the gap is 4 amos, and by the way, this is a, as we said, we've seen this before, it's back, way back in illustration 44 on page 11 of the Pirush Chai. So he is saying that if the gap between the schach and the wall of the house is 4 amos, so then you cannot sit under the schach as a sukkah. However, pochos mi arba amos kshera. If the gap is less than 4 amos, so then we apply the rule known as doifen akuma, and it is kosher, and you can sit under the schach. As we said, this section is bracketed, and the reason for it is because the it has nothing to do with sukkah. But after the brackets, essentially a new sukkah begins, so there's no, it's not for, these brackets are not for skipping purposes. In the topic heading on the side, we note under the Nosei heading, Besocha Sograyim, within the brackets, Diyun Bekashrus Dag B'Shem Avruma. There's going to be a discussion concerning a fish known as Avruma. We should say in the plural, Dogim, B'Shem Avruma. And there's another fish here that's going to be discussed, is the Tzachanto Debav Nara. Fish, as many of you know, have laws of kashrus that govern them. Fish need to have fins and scales in order to be kosher. Another problem that could affect fish is the presence of very small, unkosher varieties of water creatures that attach themselves to the kosher fish. So even though the kosher fish appears to be kosher, it has the signs, nevertheless, there are very small other water creatures that might have attached themselves to the kosher fish, and and you can't see them, they're not easily discerned, and therefore there will be a problem with them. So now the Gemara. Dorash Rav Yehuda Bar Beloi, Avruma Sharya. Avruma is a type of small kosher variety fish, and Rashi says on the second line from the second wide line under the Gemara text, Avruma min dogim ketanim v'ein shrotzim nikoren bohem. Shrotzim are unkosher variety creatures. They're not nikur, they're not noticeable in them. So the Avruma, he says, is mutter. Amar lefonav Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi, Rabbi Porish, like we saw before, Rabbi Shmuel asks Rabbi Barbloy, explain. So he says, Kach omar abo, shelmokam ploni asura v'shelmokam ploni muteris. He cites different places, and in certain places the Avruma is going to be asur, and in certain places the Avruma is mutter. Now obviously it's not a function of the fish itself. The fish is objectively kosher. However, in certain places, it's usher. Rashi says on the third line under the Gemara, "Asur misa sheshrotzim gedelim boisenorm rav kotnam ein yochol lahafrisham she'eno nikorim." And because of the excessively small size of the unkosher, we'll call them parasites or creatures, you cannot separate them. They're simply not recognizable. The other place, we say Shamok and Ploni Muteres, and that's because in that river, these shrotzim, these unkosher creatures, do not grow. They are not found there. As far as the explanation then that we hear is that the Avruma, depending on the location, will either be Mutter or Aser. And that's a result of the presence of these very small unkosher variety things that attach to the kosher one. Kiha diyamar Abaye, and this is similar to that which Abaye has said, Hai Tzachanto debav nara. Tzachanto is the name of a small fish. Bav is the name of a river. Nara is a river. So it's the Tzachanto fish of bav nara sharya. You can eat the tzachanto that you fish out of the waters of the river Bav. My time off. Why? So, you see we have a series marking, and on the side, they represent shlavim, lahasbir, loma hatzachanto debav nara mutter. These are stages in trying to, these bow tie shapes just represent the different stages in trying to figure out why is the tzachanto of bav nara mutter. And now we explained already, it's mutter because the shrotzim are not found over there, but we're asking why are they not found over there? E lemo mishum de redifi mayo vahai dag tome, kevon de lesle chuta shedjer lomotzi koyim. If you're going to say because of Radifi Maya means swift flowing waters, that the river Bav has a swift, strong current to it, and a Dag Tome, unkosher variety fish, since they don't have a spine to them, so they cannot stand up to the current. Apparently, we're talking about a spineless type of a water creature, and since it doesn't have that, so it can't live in swift flowing waters. Well, that's not true. We see spineless, unkosher variety water creatures living in swift currents. Ella, mishum de melichi maya. Rather, maybe it's because the waters are salty. V'hai dag tome kevan de lesle kilfi lo motzikoi, and the unkosher, this small unkosher fish or variety that we would otherwise be concerned with can't live because they don't have scales. The scales protecting against the salty water environment. That's not true of Alkochazina Dekoi, but we see that these non-scaled water creatures do survive in salty environments. Elo mishum de lo marba tinayu dag tome. Rather, it's because the silt in that river doesn't allow for the growth of the unkosher, these small unkosher water creatures. It's a function of the makeup of the silt of the river bed. Omar Ravina v'ha idna. Ravina comments, Ravina representing a later time period than Abaye, he says, nowadays, well, idna, nowadays, the shafchi, nahar esonu, nahar gamda lahasam, there are tributaries that it's said elsewhere in the Shas, I believe in Maseches Kiddushin in the fourth parak, the Gemara makes a comment where you see the Persians that occupied Babylonia, they were engaged in a great deal of rerouting rivers, whatever their reasons were, maybe irrigation considerations or some other they had some other engineering projects in mind, but they rerouted rivers so that you can, this Gemara is describing that nowadays the Eson River and the Gamdo River have been rerouted to flow into the river Bav, and the silt that is swept into the Bav River from the Eson and Gamdo rivers, that their silt does allow for the Sheretz development. So you can't rely anymore on the silt of the river Bav to prevent the small unkosher variety creatures from growing. And therefore, the Gemara says that nowadays, so Asira, the Sachanta fish, will be Osir, because even though it is a kosher variety fish, but you won't be able to pick out from within the unkosher small creatures that attach themselves to it. It's interesting to note that people who are aware of kashrus with regard to fish, even today you find this as a major issue, the presence of worm-like creatures in fish, and the problem of recognizing them and all that that entails. We notice now a new piece of Gemara. There's a firebox that you can see, and that indicates it's not a common marking in our Gemara marking system, but it represents an idea or a name or a topic that will preoccupy the Gemara for at least an omud of Gemara. In this case, this discussion will take us till Daf Yud Tes Omud Aleph. You will notice at the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we've indicated that this sukya goes till Yud Tes Omud Aleph. Roman numerals 1 and 2 indicate Shnei Lishoinois. There are two versions, Besikech Al Gabi Achsadra, involving a case of someone placing schach on a overhang. Achsadra, now we've seen Achsadra discussions before. We're going to take a look at diagrams. If you have your Pirush Chai open, you can see 277, a courtyard where there's a type of awning or overhang around the perimeter of the courtyard. And we're going to be dealing with placing schach over that. As I said, we've seen this before. We have illustration 253 as well, or 254, back on page 51, also to have in mind. So we're going to deal with the placing of schach over this overhang, because you want to sit in the courtyard under the schach, and we'll deal with you'll see double underlining used to highlight the terms yesh or ein p'simim. P'simim are poles. You can see them illustrated in 277, and in contrast, you saw in 253-254 a overhang without poles, without support poles. Those are the p'simim. And the another topic that's going to figure prominently in this Gemara is a concept known as Pi Tikra Yored Vesosim. Pi Tikra means the edge of a tikra, of a ceiling, or in this case of an overhang, its edge, does it descend downwards? Now, if you have a good imagination and you can focus in on the edge of this, in this our case, this overhang, you can see in the picture the overhang. So its edge is in effect a it appears at a 90 degree angle to the surface of the board. So that edge in your mind's eye might be viewed as the beginning of a wall, an imaginary descending wall. That's Pi Tikra, the edge of the Tikra, of the ceiling and of the beams, Yored Vesosim, descends, forming a wall. That thought will be of consideration if you're dealing with an achsadro that doesn't have poles. If you have poles that are positioned within three tfachim of one another, we've discussed earlier today the issue of lovuds, and then the poles are viewed as attached to one another, forming a wall around the around what you're going to want to serve as your sukkah. These are all topics we've discussed earlier in the Masechta. Even today, we made reference to Rabbi Yehuda Brabeloi's din of Bayis Shenifchas, the in the same discussion, the issue of the length of those planks that form the achsadra, if they are more than four amos, so then you'll have to construct, you'll have to provide for sukkah walls, and you cannot use the existing house walls, the houses that open into the courtyard. They're too far away from where the schach will be located. We have a little chart just to serve as an overview of the two Lashonos. The second Lashon, by the way, you'll find on Yud Tes Amud Aleph, so if you can scroll ahead or click ahead to Yud Tes Amud Aleph, you will notice in the upper part of the page a Roman numeral number 2, and it's at that point that the second Lashon will appear. But even before that, just to get the overview of the two versions of the Gemara, so we have a little chart down there on the corner of the margin. The heading across the top, you have Yesh Tzimim or Ein Tzimim, a achsadra that has poles versus one that doesn't, and that again is a contrast between 277 is in the illustrations is Yesh Tzimim, and 254, so there was Ein Tzimim. Now, Lashon number 1, Roman numeral 1 says, if you have an achsadra that has the poles, so divrei hakol kosher. By just putting schach over such a sukkah, such a an arrangement, so the sukkah under the under the schach in that courtyard, that sukkah will be kosher. You can rely, where are the walls? You're relying on the ptzimim. Ein tzimim, if there are no poles there, then, and of course the distance between the house, the existing house walls, the outer house walls, and the schach is more than four amos, so that you can't benefit from those walls to begin with. In this case, you'll have a machlokes abaye. And Rava. Abaye will say kosher. It's okay. And what's the kashus? Why? Where are the walls? So that will be a function of the Pi Tikra Yored Vesosim, where we'll say, you can see this in the top of page 55, illustration 278. The edge of the boards, in your mind's eye, they all descend downwards, forming a wall. Rava will say puzzle. You can't rely on that. Lashon number 2, which, as we said, appears on page Yud Tes Amud Aleph, if there are ptzimim, this is a more stringent, more restrictive lashon. There, even if there are ptzimim, there you'll have a machlokes, Abaye and Rava. Rava will say that even though there are ptzimim, you cannot rely on that for your sukkah. And ain't tzimim, ooh, that's even worse. There, even Abaye will agree that it's puzzle. With all of that in mind, we turn to the Gemara's second line from the bottom. Itmar, sike chagabi achsadra. He placed chach across the courtyard, using the achsadra as the support for his chach. And we mentioned that the achsadra itself is more than 4 amos wide. So it depends. Shiyesh lo p'tzimim k'shera. If, as you see in illustration 277, there are existing poles, so the schach that would be slung across the opening covering the courtyard, that is a kosher sukkah. She'ein lo p'tzimim, if there are no poles, as we can we would see in illustration 278. So, Abaye Amar Kshera, Rava Amar Psula. Don't allow the dashed lines in illustration 278 to confuse you. That is just an illustration of something imaginary. So Abaye says it's kosher, and Rava says it's Psula. The sukkah will not be effective. Abaye Amar Kshera, why? Continuing at the top of Omid Beis, Amrinon Pi Tikra Yoreid Vesosim. The edge of the Achsadra is said to descend, forming walls. Again, all of this is imaginary, but imaginary in the legal sense, that the imaginary walls descend, forming legally acceptable walls for your sukkah. Rav Amar Psula, Lo Amrinon Pi Tikra Yored Vesosim. Rav says your sukkah won't be kosher because we don't say Pi Tikra Yored Vesosim. Omar Lay Rava Labaye. We take a look at illustration 279 before getting into the Gemara. This is a totally different story. Here you have a two-walled sukkah, two parallel walls. That's a sukkah that looks like a mavui. A mavui is, generally speaking, a three-sided alleyway, but in this case, the back wall, sometimes called the middle wall, fell away. So you're left with two parallel walls. Am I going, according to you, Abaye, are you going to say that, well, you've got an additional two walls by virtue of the Pi Tikra Yoreid Vesosim? You can see Aleph in the arrow Aleph, the Pi Tikra, the edge of the schach. If you're using, let's say, boards for your schach, allow the edge to descend, forming a necessary third wall. So are you going to say that a sukkah that looks like that, 279, such a sukkah will be kosher? Omar, now let's read this in the Gemara. Omar lay Rava Abaye. Rava asks Abaye, "V'dichodiyam is pi tikra yorid v'sosem." According to you, that subscribe to the descending wall theory, afilu hifchis doifen emsoi. Are you going to say even in a case that we described in 279? Omar lay Abaye responds, Modina loch behahi. I will concede to you that in that case I won't say Pi Tikra Yoreid Vesosim. I won't allow the third necessary wall to be formed. Dehavilei kemovui hamufulash, because it is like an open alleyway. And a mavui is an alleyway. Mufulash means it's open at both ends. And the Rashi explains that which is so important to understanding this Gemara. He says that since it's open at both ends, it becomes like a, what in the Gemara uses the word from time to time, kapandaria. Kapandaria is an expression meaning a shortcut or a place people cut through, a through fare. It's a kapandaria lebekias rabim, for the public to penetrate. So since the public penetrates from one end to the other, can cut right through it, you can't say that I'll view it as if there's a wall there, when the public penetration neutralizes that. So at this point, where you have a situation of an achsadra in a closed chotzer, and there are no poles, you could still, according to Abaye, imagine walls for your sukkah through Pik Tikra Yod Vesosim. Rava disagrees. Now we continue in the Gemara with a question. You can see it lasts a number of lines. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, but we indicate hemshech. This is a continuation of the topic. And we've written on the side, Nisayon lahamid machloikis Abaye v'Rava kemachloikis Rav u'Shmuel. We're going to try to parallel the machloikis Abaye v'Rava that we just saw to an older machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, who preceded Abaye and Rava by many generations. Shechoku vei, Rav and Shmuel argued be'inyin achsadra b'bika, concerning the case of achsadra b'bika. That is illustrated in 289 on page 57 of the Pirush Chai. You see a canopy supported by four poles in a bika. Bika is an open area, and as far as Hilchos Shabbos are concerned, the laws of Shabbos are concerned, one cannot carry in a bika. It's not a private domain. It's not an area enclosed by four walls. How about carrying underneath the canopy in illustration 289? So our note continues. Rav and Shmuel, we say, argue regarding the achsadra b'bika, imutur letaltel tachtov b'shabbos. Can one carry underneath the canopy? Al smach pi tikra yored v'sosem, relying on the edges, the outer edges of that canopy descending, kidei litzor dalid mechitzas, to form four walls, lachloch esin l'yishus hayochid, thereby converting it into a private domain. And of course, one is allowed to carry in a private domain on Shabbos. So we continue now in the Gemara with the question, Lema Abaye v'Rava, v'plukto de Rav u'Shmuel k'miflugi. Abaye, who holds Pitik or Yerv v'Sosem, Rava, who does not hold from that they parallel the Machlokis, Rav and Shmuel. The Itmar, referring again to illustration 289, Achsadra b'Bika, the canopy in the Bika, in the open area. Rav Omar, Mutur Latalta Bikulo. Rav says you can carry under the entire covered area. The Amrinon Pitukur Yorvisosim. We say that the edges of the canopy descend, forming an enclosure, forming walls. Ushmul Amar Ein Metaltalin Boela Bedalit Amos. You cannot carry any more than four Amos. It's an open area. The Lo Amrinon Pitukur Yorvisosim. We do not say that the edges descend, forming an enclosure. So at this point, that Rav would then seem to be like Abaye, and Shmuel would seem to be like Rava. The Gemara responds and says, Aliba de Shmuel kule alma lo pligi. Abaye, who said that we apply pi tikra yod v'sosem, he was never saying his opinion within the Shita of Shmuel. It's clear to Abaye that Shmuel would not allow for the edges to descend. Rashi explains the logic why Abaye understands that his approach could not possibly fit into Shmuel. And the reason is, in the case of the achsadra b'bika, those imaginary walls, they would be designed to enclose the area that I am interested in being enclosed. I'm interested in the achsadra being enclosed. So if there would be descending walls, those walls would be, in effect, they're designed to enclose the achsadra area. And Shmuel says, even so, even though those walls would be made for the achsadra, they still do not come to be. In the achsadra, sikeh hagabi achsadra case, if you go back to illustration 253, 254, where you were dealing with the, which also, by the way, we reflected, we said was in 278, that overhang and the edge that would descend therefrom, those walls are designed to enclose what area? They would be designed to enclose the area under the canopy. So the walls are for the canopy there. Where am I interested in being enclosed? I'm interested in being enclosed in the courtyard proper. I need walls for the sukkah. The walls that are formed over there aren't formed for my sukkah. I'm trying to benefit from them, but if they were to appear, they would be to enclose the area under the canopy. That's not where I am sitting, though. I'm sitting in the courtyard, under the what's now the open air that I'm going to eventually put tzchach over it. So Abaye's point is that Shmuel will not allow you to benefit from Pi Tikra, even in a case where the walls are made for the area I want to be. Certainly in the Achsadra, Sikeh Rabbi Achsadra case, where the walls that would be formed are not for the area that I am interested in being, certainly they will not be effective. So as far as paralleling Abaye and Rava to Rav and Shmuel, making Abaye like Rav and Rava like Shmuel, so the Gemara here is turning around and saying no. As far as Abaye is concerned, it's clear to him that he cannot fit into Shitas Shmuel. Never attempted to say his opinion within Shitas Shmuel. Abaye, who was much later than Rav and Shmuel, Abaye, when he said his opinion, he was saying his opinion even with regard, I should say more accurately, Rava, when he was saying his opinion isn't restricted to Shmuel, but his opinion is even going to be according to Rav. So now the Gemara continues. We continue at the top of Yutes Amud Aleph. As after the Gemara says that Abaye never attempted to have his Shita being paralleled to Shmuel, so the Gemara says, Ki pligi, the machlokas Abaye and Rava, aliba de Rav, is within Rav. Rav was lenient. So Abaye kerav, Abaye is clearly like Rav. Just like Rav said, Pi tikra yored v'sosim, Abaye said, Pi tikra yored v'sosim, they can see eye to eye easily. Rava omar loch, Rava will tell you, Ad kan lo komar Rav hosam, Rav said his din of Pi tikra yored v'sosim over there by the achsadra babika, el de mechitzas achsadra davidi. There the walls were made for enclosing the area under the canopy. And therefore you can carry under the canopy. It's now enclosed by those walls. Aval hocha. But in the case of Sikeh Hagabi Achsadra, the lav lahochi avidi lo. But even Rav, says Rava, even Rav would not allow the Pi Tikra Yerd Vesosem to allow me to sit in the sukkah that's under the schach that was placed over the chotzer in the Achsadra case. Why? Because the walls in that case, as we noted illustration 278, the walls formed there weren't formed for the sukkah. And I need sukkah walls, and I don't have them. Even if there would be walls formed, but they're formed to enclose the area under the canopy. I am not sitting there. I'm sitting in the middle in the courtyard. And hence, Rava will tell you that even Rav, who was lenient with regard to Pitikur Vesosim, not in this case, not in the Sukkah case. Tanan. We have a source, and it's also illustrated by illustration 254. V'chein chotzer hamukefes achsadra. The achsadra there was four amos. The Mishnah that's quoted says that it will be posel. So a chotzer mukefes achsadra, if it measures four amos, the Mishnah back on Daf Yud Zayin says it's posel. Vamai, why is it posel? Namo pi tikur yod v'sos, and why not say that there's the descending edge of the achsadra, and hence we have a kasha on Abaye? The Gemara answers, and here you have something that appears from time to time in the Shas. It's a stroke of genuine friendship, if you will, of seeking the truth, where this question is against Abaye, and it would be essentially favorable for Rava's position. And yet, Tirgama Rava Libad Abaye, Rava explains on behalf of Abaye. Rava, who was Abaye's opponent, he defends Abaye against this question, and he says, Kishehishva es kiru yav. Illustration 292 is essential. It's a cross section. You can see the achsadra overhang coming across, and the schach is positioned in such a way that it covers the edges of the achsadra. It's positioned between, not on top of, but between the achsadra overhang. Hishva means equals out, so that the edge of the achsadra is on an equal level to the edge of the schach, and therefore you can't see the edge of the achsadra in order for it to be the beginning of a descending wall. So since it's not visible, so it can't, the descent can't even begin. Besura Masni La Shmaitza Bahai Lishna. Sura was the location of a major academy of Talmudic scholarship in Babylonia. Sura, in Sura they learned the sugya the way we have, the Machlokas Abaye and Rava in Bahai Lishna, the Lashon that we just completed. That was Roman numeral number 1, in which we presented Abaye and Rava arguing only in the case of Achsadra She'ein Lo Ptzimin. But in Achsadra She'ein Lo Ptzimin, we said even Rava will agree, everyone agrees, that the sukkah is kosher. However, the Pumbedisa Masni in Pumbedisa, another Torah academy in Babylonia, they taught the Machlokes Abaye and Rava differently. How did they teach it? Sikei Chagabi Achsadra She'ein Lo Ptzimin Divrei Al Kol Psula. This is a more stringent version. If you put schach over the courtyard with the achsadra, but there were no upright poles, everyone would agree, even Abaye would agree, that it is unfit. Yesh lo ptzimin, if there are upright poles, here is where you have the machlokas. But before we go to the machlokas, let us glance at the Rashi, that you'll find a few lines down from here. Divrei hakol psulap dekevan detikra lechalal achsadra suya. Since the overhang was made for the achsadra, it's an overhang over that particular area. Velo lavir shechutzala, the overhang is not, has nothing to do with the area outside of it, and then you would have this descending wall. Ein piha nasa mechitzas lavir, the edge of the canopy is, if it forms a wall, it's not going to be a wall that's going to be effective for the area outside of it. So that's as far as a case of Ein Lob Tzimen. Now, Yesh Lob Tzimen, if there are poles. So Abaye says, Ksherab, because the poles, being that they're within three Tvachim of one another, they form a wall. And even though the wall formed would essentially be for the area under the Achsadra, but nevertheless, since you have a physical presence of a wall formed by these poles, it works for both sides, and particularly for the area outside where I will be sitting under Sach. Rava Omar Psula. And Rava says it's not acceptable. You can't rely on the poles to form your walls. The Gemara explains, Abaye Amar Kshera Amrina Lavu. It says it's kosher. You can rely on the fact that the poles are within three tefachim of one another, and you have an enclosed sukkah. Rava Amar Psula, Lo Amrina Lavu. Rava says it's not acceptable because the wall is formed only through this halacha l'moshe sin. It's again, it's a somewhat imaginary type wall. As far as we're concerned, you have poles that are consecutive poles within three tefachim of one another. It's not a solid wall, and its whole existence as a wall is by function of an oral tradition, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and that halacha l'moshe m'sinai also states that it forms a wall, but for the area within or underneath the achsadra. It's a wall to contain the area under the overhang, not the area. They don't serve as an area, as a wall for the area outside the overhang. And that's where I'm going to be sitting under my schach, so I don't have walls. The Hilchisa, the Gemara rules. Kelishna Kamo. We look at the Rashi, because by saying Hilchisa Kelishna Kamo, you're telling me we go like the first version, the Roman numeral number one. But what aspect of Roman numeral number one? So Rashi says Hilchisa Kelishna Kamo de Rava, like the first Lashon of Rava. Now what does that mean? That means in an where you have an Achsadra She'ein Lo Petzimen. So Rava was strict. However, Rashi goes on, V'lo Kalishna Basra, and we're not going to follow Rava in the second Lashon, because Rava in the second Lashon was excessively stringent, not allowing even for the Lovud existing poles to form a wall for the sukkah. The Lovud Amrina Nafilavi, because Lovud we do apply even for the area on the other side of that formed wall. Avol, Stimas Pi Tikra, Lo Amrinon Ela Lachalal. So, to keep things in perspective, the Gemara with Rashi's commentary is saying that in the case of the Achsadra, Sheb, Ein lo p'tzimin, if there are no poles, so then we go like Rava. You can't sit in the courtyard covered with schach because you don't have walls for your sukkah. The only chance of a wall would be the imaginary p'tikra, and that's totally imaginary. You don't have you don't have anything physical there other than the edge of the achsadra. So that kind of wall doesn't enclose the area outside of it, i.e. where I am sitting in the courtyard. However, if you have an achsadra that has poles, there we are not going to follow Rava, and we will allow you to sit in the courtyard relying on the poles that are within three tefachim of one another. We continue in the Gemara with a story, and introducing this is illustration 299. What do we see in 299? So we see a house with an entranceway to it and two right angle walls opposite the house entranceway. Those two right angle walls are going to be
in anticipation of a sukkah. You can see the ischach placed over it. It's a sukkah under construction. But as everyone knows, two walls are not enough. We know that, according to the Rabbanan that we learned earlier in the Masechta, you need to have two walls and a tefach. The tefach represents the third wall, which is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So in this picture, before we touch the Gemara, I don't see a third wall. And as far as P. Tikra is concerned, so I don't have Psimim, so I can't rely on P. Tikra Yorid Vesosim based on what we just discussed in the previous sukkah. Is there any chance of this being a kosher sukkah? So before we get into the actual text, you see in accompanying 299, you see the illustration. You see also to the left a diagram. The diagram essentially is the same thing as the illustration 299, but you see the two right angle walls, and then you see something called patsim. Patsim, we have the word patsimim. It's an upright, except in that diagram, it's an overview. It's a bird's eye view. It's a view from above, but you can see in the right hand picture what is illustrated. So it's an upright pole that is supporting the achsadra that you see there. When you're standing in the sukkah, you can't see it. If you're standing outside the sukkah, you see it. There's a concept called nira mibachutz v'shave mibifnim. Shave means it's equal to or flush with. You can't see it. It's not noticeable. There, in this sukkah, in this little story, there's a lot of detail if one wants to delve into it in the context of Hilchus Shabbos, more specifically Hilchus Movui. But we're not going to get into that because we've already learned that together in Maseches Erevin, and those who didn't learn Maseches Erevin, so we encourage you to learn that Masechta 2 as well as the entire Shas. But we in Gemara Markings, we try to keep things as to the point as possible in our recordings. So Nira Mibachutz V'Shove Mibifnim, that is a concept that has value in Hilchus Shabbos. If you have an alleyway, you need to have the mavui to allow carrying in the mavui. We spoke about this earlier today. You have to have either a korah, the beam going across the top, or something we didn't mention today, an upright pole known as a lechi. So if you can imagine an alleyway, and when you're standing in the alleyway, you don't notice the upright pole. But if you're walking in the street that the street that runs in front of the alleyway, if you're standing in the street, you will notice the upright pole. That is considered a kosher lechi. And once again, the concept that we're dealing with is nira mibachutz. You can notice something from the outside, v'shave mibifnim, and it's not noticeable when you're standing on the inside. Now we can turn to the Gemara. This Gemara again is using illustration 299. Rav Ashi Ashkechei l'Rav Kahana dekomesakech al gabi achsadro shein lo p'simim. Rav Ashi met up with Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was older than Rav Ashi. He met up with Rav Kahana, who was preparing a sukkah, as you can see in 299. He was placing the schach across from the wall to the achsadra. The achsadra is supporting his schach. And it's an achsadra that doesn't have tzimin. It doesn't have upright poles. Omar Le, Rav Ashi asks, Lo sovar mor hodyama rava, do you not hold from rava? Yesh lo tzimin kshera, ein lo tzimin psula. Rava says that if it has upright poles, so that it will be kosher. And this was, by the way, this is Rava in the first Lashon, the Roman numeral number 1, that if it has upright poles, so then it's kosher, and if it doesn't, so it's not kosher. In other words, you can't rely on P. Tikra Yorid Vesosim to form the third wall of this sukkah. Achvi lay. So Rav Kahana, achvi means he showed him, he pointed out to him. Achvi is an expression that very often is in a case where there's no speech. He simply pointed out to him, and we're using the brackets for skipping purposes, and this is based on what one can see if you read Rashi carefully. What we want to get to is nireh mibachutz, right after the brackets. He pointed out that there is an upright pole in my case of nireh mibachutz v'shava mibifnim. Don't you see? Now he says, you see, as he pointed out to him, that upright pole on the left-hand side of that perpendicular wall, illustrated in 299, and hopefully it's clear from there. Di'itmar, nireh mibachutz v'shava mibifnim, it has been said in the context of lechi, by the entrance of a movui, the upright pole, the entrance of an alleyway, it has been said, nidon mishum lechi, that it's a kosher lechi. That means even though when you're standing in the movui itself, you don't notice the upright pole, nevertheless, it's kosher, it works, it functions to allow the carrying in the alleyway. The lechi hainu psimim, and the lechi, in the case of the mavui, is the equivalent of the psimim, the upright pole, in the case of the achsadra. Now, we did skip a line, let's go back. Rav Kahana pointed out to Rava two halachas. One is, in the brackets, nira mibifnim vishava mibachutz. There's an illustration of this, illustration 300. Inami, alternatively, nira mibachutz v'shava mibifnim. He pointed that out to him, that there exist these halachas, and that in our case, where you came to the sukkah and you didn't even notice the upright pole, because that was nira mibachutz. True, shava mibifnim, but it's kosher, it's considered a lechi for alley purposes, and it's considered the third wall, the tefach wall, that's needed for the sukkah. Even though, while you're standing in the sukkah, you don't notice it. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.